Chapter 25, The Easy Way Out. Harris studiously avoided Casimir's gaze as they rode the lift in silence. Even his knowing leer, though, couldn't drag down the lightness in her chest. Kanan was fine. Better than fine. Glancing up at his face through her eyelashes, she could still see the hints of the smile he'd had earlier lingering at the corners of his mouth. It was amazing the difference that a few hours could make. Leaving him alone that morning had left a bitter taste in Hera's mouth. Seeing him sitting there at the table, lost and unraveling at the seams, she had wanted to blow off Ahsoka and Commander Sato. Only his words had let her leave, still with the guilt dragging down her heart. So coming back to find him gone, knowing what he usually did when he got this low? Well, it hadn't happened. No reason to go through what-ifs. The doors to the lift dinged as they opened. Taking Kanan's hand in her own, she stepped out into the docking bay of Phoenix Nest.
Hey!
Turning, Hera grinned. Zeb was dashing towards them, waving a hand above his head to get their attention, as if he wasn't the only Lasat on the carrier. Zeb, she said warmly, as he came closer. Zeb just grinned down at her and clapped Kanan on the shoulder.
So you managed to find the lump then, eh?
Hey, who are you calling a lump? Kanan asked, smiling slightly. Zeb just chuckled and shook his head.
You. You worried us, you know,
he said, turning on his heel and beginning to lope back to the ghost.
You've earned some name calling, I think. Meet you back at the ship.
Kanan rolled his shoulders into a shrug.
Well, how can I argue with that?
He said dryly, walking after him. Harris snickered and prodded him in the shoulder, not letting go of his hand as they both walked. You can't, Lumpy, she said. There was a quiet chuckle from behind them. And just like that, the good humor fled Kanan's face. Squeezing her hand, he hunched his shoulders slightly.
Lumpy,
Casimir said, coming up to stroll alongside them with Gray.
I like that.
Janice, Gray murmured. But his eyes were sparkling with mirth as well.
Kanan didn't say anything, only thinning his lips.
Hera sighed internally. She had hoped that... Well, it didn't really matter. She had just hoped that seeing Casimir and Gray and their concern for them would maybe mellow Kanan towards them. But as it was looking now... Kanan, she said softly as they drew up to the ghost. Ignoring the guard standing nearby, she squeezed his hand, making him look at her. They were honestly a great help in finding you.
His lips only thinned more until his mouth was just a thin line on his face.
I know, he said, his eyes darting away from her.
It's just...
He stopped and sighed at the bottom of the ramp. His free hand floated up to smooth his hair back from his face. Taking a deep breath, he squared his shoulders and turned to face them.
Thank you,
he said stiffly, for helping Hera. He didn't look either of them in the eye. Hera sighed and shot the two men an apologetic look. Casimir didn't look impressed. He crossed his arms.
Think you could look us in the eye when you say that?
He asked.
Janice,
Gray admonished. Kanan didn't reply, just crossing his arms and looking down.
Hera rubbed her forehead.
We really are thankful, she said, the lightness in her chest disappearing. And I'm sorry that we took you away from your dinner.
Sabine!
Hera's head whipped around at the sound of Zeb shouting in the ship. Kanan was already halfway up the ramp. Hera followed him, her heart in her throat. A thousand scenarios flashed past in her mind. Visions of the young woman bleeding, crying, injured. She burst through the door into the sitting room with Kanan, looking around wildly for what had caused Zeb to shout. Then she saw, and her stomach dropped. Sabine was sitting at the holo display table, the small loop of vid that she'd pulled from the transmission playing. Sitting across from her was Ezra, his fingers digging into the table and head bowed, not even looking at the blaster she had leveled at him.
Sabine,
Hera breathed, betrayal making a hard lump in her throat. Hera had trusted her. Sabine stared back at them, her face like stone, even if her eyes were suspiciously shiny.
Hey, she said simply. I was just talking with Ezra. Cut the poodoo, Sabine, Zeb snapped. You don't have a conversation with someone while pointing a blaster at them.
Sabine glared.
You do with an Inquisitor. Sabine.
Kanan's voice was like a crack of thunder.
Looking over at him, Hera saw that his expression was similarly stormy. Put the blaster down now.
For a moment, she looked ready to argue.
Then she got a good look at Kanan's face and seemed to think better of it.
The blaster made a clank as it was laid down that seemed to echo in the now silent room. Hera found her arms crossed along with Zeb's, while out of the corner of her eye she could see Kanan's empty hands flexing like they wanted to grab something. After a minute of silent glaring, Hera rubbed at her forehead.
Sabine, she began evenly.
Ezra abruptly stood up. Sabine's hand darted toward her blaster, only to just miss it as Zeb snatched it away.
Ezra,
Kanan reached towards him. But the human boy didn't reply. Jerkily, he turned and walked stiffly out of the room, shouldering past Gray and Janice, who Hera only belatedly realized had followed them on board. Ignoring them for now, she traded worried looks with Kanan. Glancing past him, he silently asked for permission to follow with a raised eyebrow. Hera looked at Sabine. The young woman was not looking at any of them. Her eyes were fixed on the door that Ezra had just disappeared through, and her fingers were digging into the table like Ezra's had been when they had first entered. She chewed on the inside of her cheek for a moment, conscious that this was not going to be a pleasant talk. But it had also been a long time coming. And Kanan was just coming off of a bad day. No, she'd handle this herself. Giving Kanan a quick nod, she moved to sit down beside Sabine as he headed towards the door. Zeb copied her on Sabine's other side, pinning her in between the two of them. Similar to Ezra, Kanan shouldered past Casimir and Gray without a word. Neither of them said anything as he did so, however. Casimir just looked back at her awkwardly, tapping a finger on his hip.
Guess that's, our cue to leave, then,
he muttered, turning away.
Gray gave her a sympathetic look as he turned to follow.
Hera didn't bother to acknowledge them, instead keeping her gaze pinned on Sabine. Sitting down beside the young woman, she kept her hands on the table and waited. On Sabine's other side, Zeb sat down as well, keeping his arms crossed. Sabine didn't react to either of them. She'd lowered her head now,
staring down at her hands.
So, Hera asked, care to explain what that was all about?
Sabine rounded her chin out into a mutinous pout.
Sabine,
Zeb rumbled, his bright green eyes narrowed.
You pointed a blaster at a crew member. You don't get to keep quiet.
He is not a crew member, she snapped, before Hera could say anything.
She looked up sharply, her eyes glinting.
I will never call an Inquisitor crew.
So that was what this was about. Abruptly, frustration welled up in Hera's chest.
Sabine, she snapped, her voice like the crack of a slave master's whip. We have talked about this.
Sabine slammed her hands down on the table, where they curled into fists.
No, we haven't, she cried. You've lectured me. We haven't talked at all. Sabine, no!
She tried to stand up, only to be dragged back down by one of Zeb's giant hands.
No! She repeated fiercely. Every time I try to say anything about him, any time I try to point out something to you, you completely shut it down.
She ran a hand through her multicolored hair and tugged on the ends, hard enough to make Hera wince.
It's like I'm pounding on ice and screaming, but no one can hear me.
Something twinged in Hera's chest. Quickly going through her actions in the preceding weeks, she tried to see it from Sabine's point of view.
All right, then, she said, laying a hand on top of Sabine's.
Let's try again, then. What's eating at you?
Everything!
Sabine angrily pulled her hand away from Hera.
This!
She jabbed dramatically at the hollow that was still looping in front of them.
I just...
Hera placed a hand on Sabine's back, as a few tears escaped the girl's eyes.
She angrily scrubbed them away.
Sabine, she said quietly,
I know... No, you don't! She interrupted savagely. The Inquisitors took everything from me. From Mandalore. My home, my clan, our culture. Everything that made us more than a bunch of attack dogs.
More tears were falling down her cheeks, faster than she could wipe them away.
When Kanan found me...
Her voice broke, along with Hera's heart. Hera remembered that night. Fulcrum had sent them to Mandalore after the planet had suddenly gone dark, cutting them off from their contacts there.
They'd been able to sneak past the blockade, but what they had found... It had been a slaughterhouse, worse than anything Hera had ever seen before, and she'd been on Ryloth during the Clone Wars.
The whole planet had been under curfew, its citizens penned up in their homes after sundown. Anyone found outside after that was then assumed to be a rebel or a rebel sympathizer and disappeared. Imperial cadets had been organized into squads and sent out into the city to hunt for sympathizers, cracking open homes to find seditious art and writings. They would publicly burn the items and then have their owners lined up against the walls of their homes and shot, all underneath their commander's watchful eyes. And above Mandalore's capital city, the Grand Inquisitor's Star Destroyer had always been hovering, blocking out the sun. It had been there, in the shadow of that ship, that they'd ended up just outside of the city's main square and peering in. Hera had seen pictures of it before. It had been beautiful, sharp geometric patterns everywhere, with the Duchess's palace overlooking it. The Grand Inquisitor had turned it into a factory of death. Prisoners, whether for actually speaking out against the Empire or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, were brought into the square in large groups, corralled by roundheads. Chained like slaves at an auction, they had been forced to watch as they were brought forward in lines of 10, executed by blaster fire, and then their bodies dragged away to be piled up and burned. Needless to say, Hera hadn't been able to find any of Fulcrum's contacts. Nor had they been able to leave.
So they had stayed, holed up in an abandoned home near the square, and waiting for things to calm down. Keeping silent and still, so that the still-roaming death squads had had no reason to investigate their hiding spot. Listening helplessly to the cries of those being driven to their deaths in modified troop carriers. Zeb had drunk himself unconscious for a week afterwards. And then one night, just before they managed to get back to their ship and leave, Hera had woken up to find the space beside her cold, and Kanan gone. Her heart in her throat, she had waited for hours, only for him to walk in just 15 minutes before sunrise, with a 13-year-old Imperial cadet at his side. He'd found her in the main square, standing over the pile of bodies stacked like firewood, her blaster tucked under her chin and her finger on the trigger. Looking over Sabine's bowed head, Hera made eye contact with Zeb and knew that the same memories were flying through his head as well.
Sabine.
Hera hesitated for a moment and then went for it. Pulling the girl close, she tucked her multicolored head underneath her chin and held her as her shirt became damp. Zeb's hand almost covered Sabine's entire back, but he managed to rub it comfortingly.
"Why can't you see?"
Sabine pleaded, her voice breaking.
"I can't do it again. I can't let them hurt my family again. I can't let them make me do it again."
"Sabine." Hera kept her voice gentle and ran her fingers through Sabine's hair. "Sabine, I'm sorry. I never meant to make you feel that we weren't taking your fears seriously." Sabine's shoulders shook as a new gush of wetness dampened Hera's front. "Do you want to know why we didn't think that Hezra was a threat?" She continued stroking Sabine's hair. "We didn't think he was like that because he reminded us of you." Sabine sucked in a shaky breath and raised her head to look at Hera in confusion. "What?" she asked in a watery whisper. Hera hugged her again before answering. "He was shy, eager to please," she listed off, "desperate not to be sent away. And after we found out about how he'd been being trained, he cried, Sabine. He was scared and didn't want to hurt anyone." She tucked the girl's head back underneath her chin. "He was sorry for hurting so many people and wanted to make up for it." There was a watery hiccup. "I know you're scared, Sabine," Hera continued, "and it's okay. I don't need you two to be best friends. And I was wrong, too. I let myself get distracted by outside concerns rather than addressing yours properly."
"We all did,"
Zeb said loyally, shifting closer to the both of them.
"I wasn't busy. I gotta talk to you, too."
Sabine laughed weakly.
"Yeah, because I always listen to you."
"Hey."
Harris smiled. "Once Kanan comes back with Ezra, we can talk about it more," she said soothingly. "We'll figure this all out so that you and Ezra both feel safe." In her arms, Sabine stiffened.
About that."
Hera frowned and pulled Sabine back to look at her still damp face.
"What is it?"
Sabine continued pulling away and shifted so that she wasn't looking Hera in the eye. Reaching out, she tapped at the holo display a few times before it finally shut off, spitting out the data disk.
I don't think he's going to want to talk to me for a while," she said quietly, fidgeting with the disk.
Hera waited patiently for her to finish fidgeting and gather her thoughts.
"I asked him about the vid," she said finally, "and He was pretty upset about it. She hunched her shoulders like she was anticipating a blow.
Like Kanan reminded about the Jedi upset.
Hera frowned and turned her head slightly to look at the door.
Kanan had gone after Ezra not that long ago, and he would understand if Ezra wasn't in good shape, but he had just had his own trouble.
They were torturing his friend.
Hera snapped her head back around. Sabine was looking down into her lap, fiddling again with the disc.
He told me that he'd been trying to escape with a friend, and they were caught. And then they made him beg for his friend's life.
She didn't look up.
Oh, Sabine. Hera knew why that was bothering her.
So, like I said, he probably won't want to talk.
Ezra's hands wouldn't stop shaking. Sitting in one of the Phantom's seats, Ezra stared into his lap and tried to breathe. He wasn't there, he told himself fiercely. He wasn't there. He'd escaped. He was with Kanan and Hera and Zeb and... But it wasn't enough. Up here, with the awful crack of the headmaster's blaster echoing in his ears, Ezra couldn't stop the memories from coming. Waking up in that cell, with a collar around his neck, manacles on his wrists, and the seventh sister walking in with a smile, droid on her shoulder, clicking its pincers. No, no, he wasn't! Strong hands wrapped tight around his neck, and squeezing until hot blood was running down his face, as he tried and tried to reach into the man's head and make him let go. No, Kanan had found him! He'd been found, again, in the vents. The other guards were jeering, laughing as the seventh sister and her hulking friend, the fifth brother, watched, their gazes bored and pitiless as the guards began to punch and kick and...
Ezra. Ezra latched onto the voice like a drowning man and opened his eyes.
Kanan was kneeling in front of him, a hand raised and hesitantly reaching out towards him. Ezra remembered the last time that someone had reached towards him, trusted him not to hurt them. His eyes filled with tears.
I can't stop remembering, he croaked, as the tears began to trail down his face.
Kanan's eyes were soft. Can't stop remembering what? He asked.
The lump in Ezra's throat silenced him. All he could do was whimper and look back down, unable to bear the affection in Kanan's eyes.
Warm arms encircled him, picked him up as they resettled down on the floor, with Kanan's back to the wall and Ezra in his lap.
Can't stop remembering what? Kanan repeated, his voice soft as a secret in Ezra's ear.
Everything, Ezra forced out wetly from his throat. Everything after I...
Shame and fear and disgust dug their nails into the tender skin of his throat, and Ezra buried his face in Kanan's neck.
Kanan just made soft, comforting noises, one of his hands rubbing up and down Ezra's back.
What the Inquisitors did to you isn't your fault, he said softly. I don't doubt that that guy deserved what you did to him. Maybe you didn't do it in a good way, but you had a good reason.
Ezra shook his head, gasping for air.
No, not for...
He moaned, clawing at his mind for the words.
They hurt me, but I...
He sobbed. Brown hair and eyes and a gentle smile floating to the top of the bubbling stew that was his memories.
Shh.
Kanan whispered, rocking them back and forth.
Come on, talk to me. Focus on my voice. Who's Dev?
That startled a wet laugh out of Ezra.
You don't. Of course.
New loathing coursed through him.
I've been telling everyone but you about the Grand Inquisitor, the Academy, the Seventh Sister.
Ezra couldn't breathe again. Her breath was on his neck, her teeth in his ear, her hands playing up and down his chest like spiders.
A warm hand covered the side of his head and gently pressed it to a broad, warm chest that smelled of safety. The long fingers covered Ezra's eyes, blocking out the metal that surrounded him.
"Breathe with me, Ezra," came Kanan's gentle, inexorable voice. "Just breathe. I'm here."
Ezra realized that he was digging his fingers into Kanan's ribs hard enough that it had to hurt. But he could hear Kanan's heartbeat, the way the air whooshed in and out of his lungs.
In and out. In and out. In and out.
Until the noose around his neck and the bars around his chest had loosened, and he could breathe again. The Seventh Sister's touch, the cold, wriggling amusement and pleasure that surrounded her, receded back into memory. Kanan's thumb was rubbing back and forth over his scalp, reminding Ezra of when he was a little boy, being carried home after a high day by his father. Warm and safe, even if the chill in the air was beginning to bite.
"Okay," Kanan said,
as Ezra's eyelids began to droop.
"Let's try this again. Who's Dev?"
His eyes burned with fresh tears, but Ezra kept his breaths matching with Kanan's.
"He was my friend."
Nothing felt his hands trembling at his sides. He didn't understand this. Any of this. First, a bunch of guards had taken him out of his cell, without speaking to him or taunting him like when they were let in to beat him. They'd taken him to a bright, wide fresher, where he'd been stripped down and cleaned roughly with water so hot it verged on scalding. Then they dried him off and forced him to kneel as his hair was shaved off right down to the scalp. After all of that was done, then they dragged him off to another too-bright room and ordered him to dress in a weird, unarmored version of the Inquisitor's uniform, and then left. It had been 3 hours since then. There was a small chair where his clothes had been piled, and Nothing's legs were aching from the Seventh Sister's last punishment. But he didn't dare sit down. Not before he was given permission. The door hissed open, and Nothing's head jerked up as the Seventh Sister entered the room. Belatedly, he straightened up and prayed that she hadn't noticed the slight slouch she had fallen into while waiting. The feeling of her hand cracking across his face hard enough to make him see stars killed that hope. His hands only shook worse as he staggered to one side, before returning to standing at attention. He understood this part, at least, but...
"Who are you?"
He stuttered, his ears still ringing. This was the first thing she always asked when she entered his cell. What was the answer? She hit him again. This time, Nothing felt his lips split.
"Who are you?"
the Seventh Sister asked again, her voice terribly gentle.
"Nothing,"
he said, remembering the answer she had taught him during his punishments. A drop of blood welled up on his lip. "I am nothing." Seventh Sister made a pleased noise.
"And who do you serve?"
Yes, this at least was familiar territory. "I live to serve the Empire." She smiled. Her pleasure wriggled against him like rotworms in a piece of roadkill. Reaching out, she smoothed the shoulder of Ezra's uniform before trailing her fingers down his chest.
"Such a handsome figure you cut," she mused out loud.
Her eyes walked a leisurely path up and down his body. This was familiar, too. Nothing wondered if she was going to take him for a walk by the other Inquisitors again. But the previous times, she hadn't bothered with a uniform or any clothing at all. And the stuff he was wearing now seemed to almost be tailored to his body, so it wouldn't make any sense for him to train in them either. Keeping her hand on his front, Seventh Sister began to slowly step around him, her gaze burning with the familiar sick mix of desire and pleasure and cruelty he always felt coming from her. Nothing stayed still, staring straight ahead, even as little flashes of her memories of him lapped at his thoughts. Her hand ended up on his hip as she stopped behind him, her breath hot and wet against the back of his newly bare neck.
"Yes,"
she purred.
"You cut a fine figure indeed."
Nothing swallowed. Her nails were pricking at his skin through the thin cloth of his pants.
"Your graduation will be just perfect,"
she whispered, her lips dragging against the shell of his ear. Ezra's head whipped around before he could stop. Immediately, he cringed, expecting a blow. But Seventh Sister just laughed. Reaching up, she ran her thumb against his split lip, and then licked the blood off of it with a satisfied smack of her lips.
"I knew that would get your attention."
Giving his hip one last squeeze, she stepped away to face him directly. Her eyes bored into his.
"What you are getting here is a chance,"
she said, placing her hand on her hip.
"One final test to see if you truly have the ability to become an Inquisitor."
She stepped closer to him, so that their chests were nearly flush.
"People will be watching. I trust that I don't have to explain the consequences of embarrassing me."
Ezra's head was echoing with the word graduation so loudly that he could barely hear himself answer. "Yes." Graduation. A chance to be leaving the academy. And with it, a chance to escape. He could barely keep from jumping at the chances he would have to get away from the Inquisitorius. And away from the Seventh Sister. Keeping his gaze steady, he pressed down on his hope, ruthlessly covering it in the deep, dark hole where he kept his name and his memories of his parents. He was nothing. The feeling of squirming rotworms in his head was still there, and if she knew that he was already thinking of escaping... The first time the doors to his cell had opened, he'd been defiant, insulting. He had thought that the Seventh Sister, even though he hadn't known her name at the time, would be like all the other guards at the academy. Slow, stupid, and pointlessly cruel. He'd been wrong. The Seventh Sister had been nothing like the guards with their petty blows and insults. She worked on a whole other level, pushing him past limits he hadn't even realized existed. Her lessons had been brutal, with every failure threatening death. And her punishments. The scars on his back from the first time he had insulted her had been healed until there were nothing more than faint silvery lines, but they prickled with pain as he remembered them being inflicted. Smiling again, Seventh Sister stepped away and turned, beginning to head out the door.
"Come along, then,"
she called, not bothering to turn her head back to see if he was coming. automatically falling into the proper 3 steps behind. Nothing followed. He kept his face still and submissive as they walked along the halls. He had no illusions that if he showed the slightest bit of excitement or let a single thought of escape slip, that he'd be dragged back to his cell for more lessons. But it was so hard. He'd been going on for so long with nothing but the promise of more pain. The hallways seemed to go on forever, their gray monotony a reminder that he wasn't quite done yet, that if he messed up... They stopped outside of a door that nothing had ever seen before.
"Remember,"
Seven Sister said as she reached for the door switch.
"Don't embarrass me."
The door whooshed open before Nothing could say anything. Then he stayed silent for an entirely different reason.
"Ah," said the flickering hologram of the Grand Inquisitor. "So you finally arrived, Seventh Sister."
Getting down on one knee and bowing her head, Nothing nevertheless could feel a sharp spike of anger lancing through his head from her.
"My apologies, Grand Inquisitor,"
she said smoothly, as Nothing knelt as well.
"I was merely making sure that 100314 was presentable."
"Quite."
Even with his head bowed, Nothing could hear the way the Grand Inquisitor was raising a brow in his tone.
"I do hope that you didn't neglect his education in pursuit of aesthetics, though."
"Never, my lord,"
she said.
"He is one of the strongest students this academy has ever produced. And my teachings..."
"Save your bragging,"
the Grand Inquisitor interrupted coldly.
"I have no doubt of his strength. He more than proved it when he dealt with the headmaster. What I am worried about is obedience."
"There is no doubt of that either,"
the Seventh Sister said.
"I have more than..."
"I told you to save your bragging."
Nothing heard the click as her mouth shut, rage rolling over him from the dismissal.
100314, stand."
The Grand Inquisitor's tone brooked no disobedience. On his feet and staring into the Inquisitor's flickering holographic eyes, Nothing felt his hope disappearing under the icy chill of fear. At his sides, he could feel his hands trembling as he remembered his betrayal and capture, and the way the Powan's mind had curled around him like some great snake. The Powan's eyes burned, even from however far away he was transmitting. He meticulously examined Nothing's features and body as he stood to attention, well aware of the heavy feeling of danger that was emanating from the Seventh Sister. Images flickered across his mind again, more silent threats of what would happen if he was found wanting.
100314, what are you?
Nothing swallowed. Nothing, sir, he said, keeping his voice steady and unemotional. I'm only a tool for the Empire. The Grand Inquisitor studied him for a few seconds more. Nothing focused on keeping his face still. Finally, his face not showing any emotion, the Grand Inquisitor turned his attention away from Nothing.
He certainly looks the part, Seven. But as I was saying, I do not care for looks. I am looking for obedience.
Seventh Sister kept her head bowed.
Yes, my lord.
100314's final test is therefore centered around that. Fifth brother.
Ezra barely kept himself from jumping as the giant alien materialized from the shadows, dragging a lumpy object behind him. Grand Inquisitor, he said, bowing his head as well, but staying on his feet.
You have brought it, then.
The others were reluctant to part with their toy, my lord, the gray-skinned alien said, in the strange, rounded accent he spoke with.
But they acquiesced when they learned that it was by your order.
Good.
The Grand Inquisitor's tone was clipped, and he turned back to nothing.
100314. Your final test is to kill on our command. Are you capable of that?
Yes, sir. Nothing said, even as his mind spun. That was it? Just kill someone? He'd done that dozens of times during the Seventh Sister's lessons. How was this going to be a test?
We'll see.
The Grand Inquisitor turned and nodded at the Fifth Brother. Half bowing in acknowledgement, the Fifth Brother stepped forward, still dragging the strange lump he had with him. Tugging at the rope he had wrapped around it, he stopped just in front of them and dragged it out from behind him, sending it sprawling in front of nothing. For a moment, nothing didn't recognize what was in front of him. Brown skin, with green and yellow and purple and blue smears. Then it moved. Against his will, Ezra took a step back as he recognized what it was that was lying in front of him. Who it was. Dev looked up at him through a curtain of lank, matted hair, slowly moving the stumps where his arms and legs should be. A collar, wide and flat and spattered with what looked like rust but that Ezra knew was old blood, was digging into the bruised skin of his neck. A chain dangled from its front. The Grand Inquisitor rolled his eyes.
I see that you didn't stint yourself, Fifth Brother,
he drawled. Fifth Brother shifted and crossed his arms. I was not the only one, he muttered mutinously. The others...
Don't make excuses.
Fifth Brother's already thin lips just thinned even more. Ezra didn't pay attention to any of this. He just stared down at Dev, who looked back with Mooka Pup eyes. His lips were moving, but no noise besides soft, unformed whispers were crossing them. His friend. His best friend. And Ezra hadn't even wondered what the Academy had done with him until now. Struggling up onto his arm stumps, Dev looked at him pleadingly. The collar slid down slightly, exposing a ragged red line across the front of his throat. Ezra's gorge rose.
Well, 100314,
the Grand Inquisitor said.
I doubt that you need to be told what is expected of you. Just in case, though.
His eyes were burning.
Kill him.
Ezra could feel his hands trembling as he looked down at the other boy. How could he have not even thought of his friend? How could he have... Well, the Inquisitors had been...
100314.
The Inquisitor's voice was cold. I don't have a weapon, Ezra stuttered, finding his voice. The Grand Inquisitor made a low sound of irritation.
You have the Force, don't you? Unless the Seventh Sister was lying on her reports, that should be enough, I think.
Like a red-hot needle, the Seventh Sister's anger lanced through his mind. Ezra found his knees automatically folding. No. No, Seventh Sister hadn't particularly cared to punish him like that in front of other Inquisitors. Still, though, the anger pricked at him, reminding him of her earlier threats and making his chest feel tight with fear. Ezra swallowed and looked at Dev. For a wild moment, Ezra thought of trying to run, of trying to protect Dev, trying to fight.
Well, 100314?
The Seventh Sister's voice was tight with menace.
a promise of punishment that made his back prickle again with memories. And that was it. That was the moment when Ezra realized that his wild thoughts were just that. Thoughts. He wasn't getting out of here without killing Dev. Not because he couldn't try. If he did, Ezra was sure he could at least make it so that he was sent back to the cell with the Seventh Sister. Dev would live for just a little while longer, miserable as his life was. But Ezra wasn't going to do that. Kneeling beside Dev and looking into his pleading, frightened eyes, Ezra knew that he wasn't going to try and fight his way out. No. Ezra was going to do as he was ordered. Ezra was going to kill his friend because he was afraid. Because he was afraid of what the Seventh Sister would do to him if he didn't. Because he was a coward. Yes, sir. His eyes were burning as he reached out and gently cradled Dev's face. The other boy's face was sticky from sweat and filth, but Ezra didn't mind. His skin had felt like that plenty of times before. He couldn't point fingers. Dev looked up at him pleadingly. Hopefully. Ezra could feel his certainty that Ezra would save him, would make everything better. Ezra could feel his curiosity as Ezra entered his mind. His quiet happiness, despite everything that had been done to him, at the sight of Ezra. His confusion as Ezra went deeper. To parts of him no one else had gone to. His worry as Ezra found those parts of him that controlled his breathing and heartbeat. His fear as he felt Ezra slowly still them. Ezra stared into Dev's eyes, seeing the terror in them. Saw the way his lips formed silent questions, then cries. Saw them slow. Saw the light begin to fade from his eyes as water welled up in them and trailed down his face. Ezra felt water trailing down his face as well. Dev's mind fluttered like a dying bird, still trying to break free from his grip. The Inquisitors were silent, their gazes boring into him. The Grand Inquisitor, present only through holodisplay, was too far away for Ezra to feel anything from him. But the others... The Seventh Sister was smug. A bloated animal's corpse at the side of the road that twitched and pulsated from the rot worms feasting on it. The Fifth Brother was sullen, but slightly interested. He could feel Dev's fear as well, and was lapping it up the way a loath wolf lapped up blood from its kill. The bird was still twitching. It still wanted to live. But so did Ezra. With the Inquisitors looming over him, he felt the last puff of air from Dev's lungs brush past his fingers. The bird went still, no longer fighting against him. And Dev's body went limp. The quiet, sick triumph of a pack of predators at the kill filled the room. Ezra couldn't bring himself to care, staring down at Dev. Those eyes had been so full of life. So warm.
Well,
the Grand Inquisitor said, his voice filled with gloating.
I take back my criticism, Seventh Sister.
Thank you, Grand Inquisitor,
she simpered. The Fifth Brother just snorted.
Jealous, brother?
Seventh Sister asked, sickly sweet.
Hardly.
The sourness in his voice belied his words.
He still hesitated.
But in the end, he obeyed within an acceptable amount of time.
The Grand Inquisitor's voice held a note of warning.
Seven, have him prepared for transportation. I don't want him suddenly finding his spine when he arrives at Geonosis.
As you wish.
There was a quiet squeal as the holocall was abruptly terminated. Silence filled the room. Ezra continued to stare down at his former friend's face, now slack with death. The seventh sister's hand was cold as it clamped down on Ezra's shoulder.
"Come along now, 100314,"
she said, her voice smug and pleasant. Ezra didn't resist as she dragged him away. Dev's final pleading gaze was roiling in his mind. He'd been so scared. He'd been so kind and so scared. He'd trusted Ezra to make things better. The door whooshed, and they were in the hallway again, heading back to his cell. The seventh sister was walking beside him, rubbing her thumb along the back of his neck in an intimate gesture. Her mind was wriggling against his, picking at him like she was picking at a scab. Ezra ignored it. He felt slow, distant. Dev had trusted him. The Grand Inquisitor had asked him what he was before the test had started. Ezra had just been parroting what he'd been taught to say at the time, but now? He was nothing. A tool for the Empire. And he couldn't help but think that being nothing was better than being Ezra Bridger.